Hello, members. Welcome to this Wednesday live session. I hope you've all had a good day so far. And let's get straight into things. Share screen. Got a bunch of things to go through today. But we will certainly stay within the 1 hour. So let's jump into the live session for today. I am going to have not reordered this effectively. I've got a few bits and pieces, a bit of housekeeping first of all. Number one, we're going through this rebranding process from C19 group coaching program to The Club. I thought The Club would be a good name because it's like, do you want more new patients? Join the club. Do you want better systems? Join the club. Like, we're all in this, as they say, we're all in this together. Now, we've all got the same desires as dental practice participants to make sure that we're all being as efficient, as productive, as happy as can be, providing great experiences for our patients and building on our patient base as well. And so The Club, I thought, was a pretty groovy name. So you'll see it in, I've changed in the past, we've been online coaching sessions. I've changed that to live sessions. And so the Wednesdays and the Sundays are the live sessions. You'll also see it in the Facebook page. It's now called The Club Members Only page. And you'll also see it in the emails that I send out to you as well. The header of the email will be The Club. And so please don't be confused. So we're just slowly going through this rebranding process. You'll start seeing some promotional emails come out. So I'll turn my phone over. I get distracted every time it flashes open, flashes up. So you, all of the emails that will be coming through talking about The Club, it's a paid membership. Keep in mind, this is not for you. You guys still get your 3 months of free membership and free coaching. So nothing is going to touch that. So there's a little bit of information about, oh, that's right. And the Trello as well, of course. The Trello, I've renamed The Club as well from the C19 group. The next thing as well is that I've been grabbing a few little one-liners from information that you guys have sent me through little emails and bits and pieces to put on my website, advertising The Club in the form of testimonials. If anybody would like to offer up a testimonial, if you're finding that you're getting value, that would be gratefully received. Just a sentence would be beautiful if you felt the desire to do so. Just email them straight through to me. And also, when you do your email through a testimonial, just put down if you want to just have your initials and the state that you're from, or whether to put your full name. I don't mind either way. Now, the Facebook group, as you know, I've had enormous trouble trying to invite people to this Facebook group. I had a look into it today, and it looks like I made it so closed down and private that you couldn't even find it. Now I've got the link there where it'll take you to the group. In order for anyone to see any of the information in the group, the members, the timeline, you have to be a member. And so the first thing that happens when you go to this link is join the group. Once I approve you, once you know I know that you're one of you guys or one of the future paid members, then I'll hit join and then they can see everything. So that's the new link. You don't have to be my friend first if that was stopping you in the past. Actually, I'm just going to copy that and put it under activity, because otherwise the line is through it. Another thing I wanted to, this occurred to me a couple of hours ago when I was on my daily walk. I thought about our last live session where I was encouraging you all to look at what your fellow team members are doing and start fulfilling that need that we all have for positive reinforcement and acknowledge what you see is good going on around you. So if you notice somebody puts the bins out, don't just think, oh, yep, that's their job to put the bins out. Instead, show appreciation for that and say, thanks for putting the bins out. So all the little things that you normally just let pass by because either it's their responsibility or it's part of their job anyway, or it's stuff that's just meant to be done, so why should I be positively reinforcing that? And it is the same as you would do for your son or daughter who is going ahead and doing things off their own back or fulfilling roles that they're supposed to have within your family home. For example, what if a child offered to cook dinner when it wasn't actually part of their responsibilities to cook dinner? And what if a child, they were to take the bins out every week and they actually did it without being asked? You would positively reinforce that. You would reward that wonderful behavior because you want it repeated. And one of the main reasons why people leave teams, leave workplaces, is a lack of appreciation. So appreciation is a really important thing. And you need to verbalize it. You can't just feel it inside yourself or think the thought. You need to verbalize it to that person in order for them to feel appreciated. And when I suggested that, okay, for the coming week, everyone do that, that I missed out on one key point, and that's what I suggest in the huddles, that we need the constant reminder to prompt the action. So we do the action time and time again and practice it for it then to become a new habit. So I had an idea. It just means an additional email out to everyone, and I am so conscious of not over emailing and over communicating. What I thought was that whatever we, let's have a every week or every month, have a thing that we're trying to do, a new habit that we're trying to implement or a new mindset we're trying to have, and have the little reminder, just as you would have the reminder of your focus in the morning huddle, as we've discussed in the past. What about having the reminder every morning from me of a quick email, a one-liner, well, this one's two liners, just as a reminder to you of what your focus is of this week. So I'm going to try this out. Please do let me know if you say to me, these emails are coming thick and fast, we don't need an additional one every day. However, you may find it helpful. It's not an engaging email in terms of that you need to go in there and do anything about it. It's simply in the subject line, daily focus, and then what it's going to be. For example, today it's appreciation. And then when you open it up, if you choose to open it up, just seeing that subject line might be enough for you. If you want to open it up, it just says, hi members, your daily focus this week is appreciation. See good behavior and reward good behavior with an acknowledgement. Have a great week. So if I send that out to everybody every morning, it may be enough of a reminder for you to actually take action on it during that day. And then by the end of the week, we're making big strides towards having it be a new habit of what you do. As you can see there, that's the new branding of the emails, the club. Join the club. And so I'm going to start doing that and let me know if it's helpful for you or whether it's a pain in the neck to get that additional email every day from me. The next thing on the agenda is just to remind you all that we've got a doing session coming up tomorrow at 2 o'clock Eastern, Eastern Standard Time. And if you would like to register for it, go ahead and click on that registration link. George, with your two staff members, I sent through the link that you didn't need to register for it, but then I thought maybe we should register for it. You should be able to get into it anyway with the link that I sent through to you yesterday, but register, get them both to register themselves. They could use separate computers and work on it or work on it together in the same computer. It's really up to you. So we're going through Google Calendar. So you will start from nothing and end up with your own Google Calendar all populated. So that doing session is tomorrow. I will be recording it, but whether I post the recording of that session or not is going to depend on how it rolls out. I've set the doing sessions up as meetings rather than webinars. Here, there is a challenge about getting you guys to be able to participate freely because you have to find the chat area, then you have to type the chat in, and then I have to see it. Whereas with a doing session, I want them to be quite interactive. I want people to be able to say, you're going too fast, slow down, or I can't find that button or whatever. So it's going to be set up as a meeting. Everyone can change their identity if they wish to. There's really no reason, just pop your first name in there. And then as we go, I'll be sharing my screen. I'll be able to come into your screens and show you what to do as well. So the meeting setup's a little bit different. So you can actually call out, you know, what your questions are. The new Trello option to the color cards. So this came through as an email to me today. It's very exciting. Anything that makes Trello more visually appealing and visually easy to navigate makes my life a wonderful, wonderful thing. So you can see over here, I'm going to move my box there. See over here under video tutorials, and we've got blue backgrounds on these cards. How did I do that when all the others are white? Let's have a look at this. So you go into a card and actually, yeah, there we go, cover. Click on cover and they've now given us the option of putting a photograph or a color as a cover, which we could always do, but we can, it used to just appear at the top like this. Green, it used to just appear like that. Right, so you'd have a bit of a band of color at the top, just like I've got here under team communication. That one's an image that I've popped up the top. But what we can do now is go to cover. See, now it's not the cover, it's not here anymore. It's up the top because we've got the cover, and make it this one instead. And then that's where the writing appears within that color. This could possibly be helpful. I could make all of the cards that are relating to reception green, for example, all the ones relating to leadership is yellow, and et cetera. So we'll see how we go with those. But for your own Trello boards, like I know a lot of you have your own Trello boards with your own practice, keep that in mind that that's a new thing. Can you even get there? No. So there you go, just clicking on it. I wonder if I, with that image, if I hit cover and I make it the whole thing, that means I'm going to get rid of this text. It doesn't allow me to have no text. I'm going to put a full stop there because I've actually got in within the image team communication. And there it is. Oh, how excitement. That's wonderful, isn't it? Let's go back into the live session and tick the new Trello option of color cards off the list. The other thing I wanted to mention to you as well is the amount of information that, I'll just stop screen sharing so I can communicate to your face. The amount of information that we're sharing and going through meeting up twice a week. As I've said in the past, I really do like this momentum of doing Wednesdays and Sundays. And sometimes if there's too much gap in between, you don't even kind of get into any kind of routine of implementing anything. But when it's a couple of times a week, then I'm feeling it's valuable. I want to get your feedback around that too. Always do tell me we're getting busier and busier. Maybe an hour for each of the two sessions is too long. Maybe I cut it down to be 30 or 40 minutes on a Wednesday and 30 or 40 minutes on a Sunday. There has been this, one of the suggestions on the survey was ditch the Sunday. Let's just do the Wednesday, but for an hour and a half instead. So we can maneuver around that and find something that's a happy medium for everybody, or for most of us. Never going to be for everybody, for most of us. But what I wanted to encourage you to have as a mindset around the amount of information that's coming through, I can see how some people may think, gosh, I'm not implementing everything that's going on here, therefore I must be failing in some way. Or if others can implement all of this, that means I'm incompetent, or I haven't got a great team that can implement change quickly enough. The amount of information isn't designed for you to implement everything straight away. It is designed that you do what resonates with you at the moment. Cherry pick from the stuff that's going on. This is now going to be an ongoing group, an ongoing membership. And so we are going to be bringing up key features, key systems, key actions over and again over the journey. And in any given month, there'll be, you know, possibly 20% that you implement and 80% that you don't. But never stress. as is the way of a dental practice, you revisit ideas as they rise to the need for them rise to the surface again and again. And just because we've covered something months ago, in the future, if you think, gosh, I really want to hear more around that particular topic, such as what can I do for you, that concept that we've just been talking about over the last session, then all you need to do is say, can we go through what can I do for you? And that brings it back to the fore. And then it's very useful for not yourself, just for yourself, but everybody else as well, or a lot of others as well, who feel that that is a relevant topic for them to go through straight away at that time. So I don't want you to feel overwhelmed. The minute you feel overwhelmed, you'll start to disengage. And I want this group to be something that's very helpful for you and helps you take further useful steps in the success of your practice, yourself, your engagement with patients, your engagement with team members. And in order to do that, I want you to feel very free to cherry pick what you need to do right now, take action on the things that appeal to you right now, knowing that it's okay to let the other things go to the side because you'll be able to pick them up when they're relevant to you. I hope that helps you. I'll certainly be mentioning that point every now and again because I think it's an important one. For those that participated in the what can I do for you concept, this is where as a team member within a practice, as an owner and leader within a dental practice and our approach to patients as well, having this idea of what can I do for you, this question of what can I do for you on our lips all the time and have it adjust up the way we behave within the dental practice. I've now posted the video. It was too long to attach to a Trello card, so instead I've attached it as a YouTube. So I've uploaded it to my YouTube channel. And all you need to do is actually, again, I'll copy this and pop it under activity. And just click on the Elements of Great Teamwork card, another one of those cards which is going to continually populate. And we've got the What Can I Do For You with the big heading so your eyes are drawn to it. And just a reminder that it can be a customer service policy, team culture, and a leadership philosophy. And here, the very first attachment here is the article that I wrote last year, I think it was last year, for Australasian Dental Practice Magazine about what can I do for you. And so, yes, last year. And so that can help as a printout that you put in your staff room, for example, as a reminder to your team members. But also this is the YouTube link for the actual, it's a close to 11-minute video.
Hi, I'm Julie Parker. Thank you so much for joining me. I wanted to mention something that I think can be very, very powerful.
And that's the 10 to 11 minute video for your whole team to watch as they're putting on their their wristbands, their silicone wristbands with the What Can I Do For You question on it. So that's all in there for you to focus on. If I can help in any way in implementing that as a new system, a mindset within your practice, please let me know. I think it's an important one. Okay, now we're getting into the guts of what today is all about, the two topics that we're going to be touching on. The first topic is the WhatsApp group for your practice. Now, WhatsApp, hopefully most of you are aware of WhatsApp as an application that you download onto your telephone. This has become, I've always been reticent about putting out there a forum for communication with staff members where we can communicate anytime. With emailing, for example, I've always been aware in the past to not email staff members outside of general business hours, to only email them between the hours of 9 and 5 during the day, and then not to expect an immediate response from them if it's their regular day off. But WhatsApp provides, you know, the world is changing for a start, but also WhatsApp provides so many benefits that I think it's really worthwhile your practice having a look at. So a practice that I work with closely, they've been using WhatsApp for the past 2-3 years now, and the sort of things that they do, first of all, let me go into the WhatsApp and show you, for example, every day at the towards the end of every day, the receptionist takes a photograph of the day and post it on WhatsApp. So any staff member that's working the following day can see what to expect. They can see what their day looks like, what their start time is. That's enormously helpful. And it's interesting how often you think, oh, you know, we've lived without that for such a long time. Why would it be useful? I can't tell you. As a team member that's going in the next day for myself, for example, you think, you know, I've got to speak to this staff member and that staff member. When's the best time for me to pop in? It's wonderful. But even for the team members themselves, do I have a heavy extraction day, a heavy root canal day? I'm running late for work. When's my first patient? Oh, the first patient's not booked in either, so that's fantastic. So there's a lot of benefit around using WhatsApp for that. The other thing that we use WhatsApp for within that group is, and I won't be able to find one quickly, so, oh yeah, no, this is a good one. This one here was just asking whether those particular gloves were the ones that this particular staff member was looking for. And so the ordering girl got a question on her whiteboard. Rather than answering it on the whiteboard, she then took a photo of the gloves that this particular nurse was asking about and said, these are the ones you're talking about. And they got an answer straight away. So it lends itself to great efficiency. And keep in mind that with anything texting, a lot of, you know, smiley faces, emojis and all the rest of it, keep everything lighthearted. We want WhatsApp to be a place where it's just positive communication. This is not a space to reprimand people at all. This is just informative and positive communication. During the COVID-19 situation, we posted a lot of videos of this is the new ADA guideline around this or that. So everyone gets a chance to be exposed to the information that was important and relevant. Keep in mind that I have been sending out staff meeting minutes for years and years and years. Rarely do people read them. But WhatsApp has changed that. So I still, of course, type up staff meeting minutes. We always store them in Evernote with this particular practice. But then,
hi, girls. This is the video summary version of our staff meeting minutes that I start doing. It's going to be easier than possibly reading through all the minutes, which a lot of you may not be doing.
So all of a sudden, we've got an engaging and easy way to get the key information across to all the team members. Some staff meeting minutes or team meeting minutes, not all of them have to be listed. If you've got 20 minor items there, only pick and choose the ones that you want the whole team to hear about. Little reception notes that are really just between the receptionist and the owners or the bosses or whatever, and the receptionist was at the meeting, so understands everything. Not those sort of items, but the things that, you know, we've got a new system, we've got a new guideline. There was this patient that said a wonderful thing about an experience. All of those sort of things, just verbalize quickly after you've typed up your minutes. Have any staff member just do a very quick video. These are the key points. And then you know for sure you're getting the information out there. It's an interesting thing when we talk about the responsibilities that each one of us have in terms of making sure that we have read the practice manual, that we have read through the staff meeting minutes, that we have done this, that we have done that. Now, I'm part of another organisation where I'm part of the executive group, and we communicate with our 50 members all the time. And in the role that I have taken up over the years a couple of times, and others take up, it's a volunteer organisation, but others take up this role as well, you start to see how different people manage that role of communication. For some, it's very frustrating. I've emailed this person twice and they haven't responded back. Others go to great efforts. I've emailed them, I've called them, I've SMS'd them, I've WhatsApped them, I've done everything possible and they still haven't got back to me. What I've found is of a group of 50, you know, there's a percentage, 10% will be diligent about jumping on their email and responding back that they've read something, responding to an SMS, they'll jump on the phone straight away. And then you've got that whole range all the way to people that hardly ever read their emails. They for whatever reason, we're, as Charles Covess says in his presentations, we're all weirdos. So to expect us all to conform to the one mode of communication is just frustrating for the person that's doing that communicating. So I, this one group, it's been very interesting to me because I have always thought to myself, my true agenda is for them to get the message. So what else can I do in order for them to get the message? So I'm usually quite happy to do it in various different ways. When I sent through the meeting minutes in this format by video, that was the most feedback I've ever gotten regarding the meeting minutes. People saying, oh, is this what you meant? And oh, thanks for that. And oh, it was just so easy just to figure out what was going on with the meeting minutes. I think constantly being curious about how do we deliver this information? What should our realistic expectations be in terms of interaction when people actually aren't in at the practice at the time? I feel like WhatsApp helps that process very much. And I feel like the video version with WhatsApp, or, you know, using video on WhatsApp, I think that's enormously impactful. The other things that we utilize on that is we've spoken before about when somebody, a maintenance person comes in and says, oh, this is how you're supposed to clean this piece of equipment, or this is how you're supposed to use this piece of equipment. Taking that quick video, sending it out via WhatsApp so everyone's aware, then uploading that to your YouTube channel so every future staff member's also aware. That's a beautiful way of doing things. But do be wary. These sort of communications can be a venting space for people who are frustrated in the moment. The person didn't bring the sign in, they didn't do their stereo before they left, whatever. It is not for that. And we're talking about team communication today as well. And part of that is setting a standard high. And we want to make sure that our WhatsApp communications are of a very high standard and make rules around it, make agreements around it. And one of the agreements are, this is not a space for venting. It is only a space for posting about someone's birthday, posting the day sheets, posting the summary of the meeting minutes, posting helpful information. If you feel the temptation to do a vent on WhatsApp, you must stop yourself and utilize a different forum for that. So we don't want WhatsApp to become a space where people feel bad about themselves. It's a helpful aid for your communication within your team. If you would like any further information, or if you've got any other ideas, if you've been using WhatsApp that you'd like to share, jump on the Facebook site and share them. And the lovely Elle did share a wonderful hint that she uses at her practice. Oh, what am I doing here? There we go. Around providing warranties and guarantees for treatment. And it's a great opportunity, the Facebook page. It's going to go to that area. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to really, you know, learn from each other and get hints from each other on how to do things. And so Elle is Ilsa within the group, which has got a different ID name there. But they utilize the chance of rebooking for the next 6 month appointment time, pre-booking that with the warranties. So, you know, just so you know, that crown, you know, the warranty's there for a year, but we do need, in order to keep that warranty, you need to make sure you maintain your 6 monthly checkups. And so do not organize that now. And so that's a really great hint around that. So thank you so much for sharing that, Elle. I know that George really liked it as well. There we go with that. Okay, elements of great teamwork, part two. There's multiple parts to this, as you can imagine. And we're talking about communication today. I'm going to click on that card and bring up this beautiful cover. Look at that. How glorious. Now, you've heard me mention before, most likely, there are four modes of communication that I do encourage you to use within your team environment. Now, just stop share again. Now, with many practices, when I ask the question, do you have any team meetings or staff meetings, they either say yes, you know, we have them regularly, or they say we never have them at all because we just manage things as we go. I love managing things as you go, but I love the opportunity that a team meeting, a regular team meeting, provides your team members to air things that are going on for them that you may not be aware about. And not when I say air things, it makes it sound like it's bad things. It's not necessarily bad things. I completely agree. If you can manage little issues as they crop up, do it. It makes no sense to delay these sort of things. You can start benefiting from your great solutions instantly, and you don't have a staff meeting every month that has 50 items on it. But what we do like to do at regular team meetings is, number one thing is to look at what was discussed at the last meeting, any action items that were delivered in the last meeting, and say, how are we going with them? Quite often we lose momentum because we talk about it once. How often have you heard this? We talk about things, but we never get things done. And it's because an additional step hasn't been put in place to make sure there's an accountability to the action items that we determined from the last meeting. And so the meeting closes, everything runs out of our brains, and we go on life as normal. An ideal team meeting, when you have got directives that crop up and actions that crop up through that meeting, is to say, okay, now who is going to be doing it and by what date does it need to be done? Or if it's a new system that you're rolling out, so everyone's going to be participating and there's not a due date, we're just doing it now, still have that as an action item that you're taking away from the meeting. The first thing to do when you've got a upcoming meeting is to print off the minutes from the previous meeting. And the first thing to discuss are all those action items. How are we going with all those things? Are the things that were delegated to a particular person and to be done by a particular date, have they been done? No, that's an action item coming from today's meeting. If they have been done, that's item done, and we can tick that off. If it's an ongoing system, then we say, have we been actioning that system? If you have, have there been any barriers? Are you finding it's going through well? If there have been barriers, then we manage them. And if you haven't been actioning the system, this is a reminder to start actioning the system. Maybe we should put this one as a focus on our morning huddles to remind everyone to start doing it this month. So the very first thing to do is to make sure that your team meetings are structured in a way that create accountability and momentum to task, and that we don't just talk about all the things we're going to do, we talk about them and actually do them. The next thing around a team meeting is you don't want to have a huge amount of topics there. You want meetings to be an opportunity for team members to interact in a positive teamwork way, that everyone gets to have a voice, and that everyone gets a bit of validation as well in terms of the input that they have. And so if you had a query, if for example, a patient, there was an upset patient, and the receptionist said the patient was upset, this is what my reaction was, what does everyone else think of that scenario? Is there a better solution for this patient? And then whoever has an input, everyone stops, listens intently, acknowledges and pays due respect to that input. That is putting into practice and modeling for everybody else, this is how we behave here as a team. Everyone's ideas are important. Everyone's experiences are important when they bring that to the table that can then help us manage a particularly difficult situation in the future, or even not a difficult situation. By the way, we did this at the last practice I worked at. We used WhatsApp. I think it'd be awesome to do it here. What does everyone think about that? So everyone's ideas are crucial in order to get a group discussion and a group result and a new system. Keep in mind that one of the biggest complaints in any team, not just dental, but any team, is that when we put a new system out, the staff members don't adopt that new system. Now, number one, it's usually because it's not supported in a way of being reminded to that group over and over again, so they then have it as part of their conscious brain when they turn up to work every day to do that system. But the second thing is that if people aren't involved in the design of the system, all you're doing is telling people what to do. And what do people hate? And what do they resist? And what do they run screaming from? Being told, what to do. If everyone's involved and has input into this new system, this new way of doing things, they will feel a sense of responsibility and pride in getting this system done and implemented within the daily running of the practice. So involve them in all the decisions and you will see an increase in the dedication to its implementation. And so that's another good reason why group team meetings are useful, because it avoids getting a whole list of things gradually every day that where you're just telling people what to do. When we're telling people what to do, we're removing the sense of autonomy that they have, and it starts to deplete their enjoyment of work, but also it stops their creative brain from functioning as effectively. When people feel like that they're being validated, that their ideas mean something, and that their input is valuable, then they're more likely to utilize that side of their brain and enjoy implementing these new systems that they've had a role in creating themselves. So this is why part of effective team communication is providing the opportunity for effective communication. A team meeting is an effective opportunity for communication. And whereas other ways of communicating, which I'll go through, such as morning huddles, they're more rushed. You don't have a chance to discuss things as a group in a morning huddle. Morning huddles are short, sharp, sweet. So that's why regular team meetings are important. So even if you don't have them, and even if you do just solve things as we go, they're still an important element to creating a great team environment and making sure that all the important stuff is being brought up and spoken about. Brainstorming sessions. Brainstorming sessions take longer, so are less frequent. And this is really, can be a very powerful element to your team communication, but even more so the magnificent systems that you could then put in place in order to really satisfy patients and give them a magnificent experience. The team brainstorming sessions, and I've got a role play. I'll share, copy that card here, copy, and add that to this card here. Edit, brainstorming sessions, paste that card there, hit save. What a brainstorming session is, whereas a regular team meeting, you may have half a dozen items on the agenda. A brainstorming session has one item on the agenda. One key area of your practice that if improved could really start shifting and changing the way, the kind of service that you offer to patients. A classic example is the new patient experience. And so what you do with a brainstorming session is you say to all of your team members, we've got a brainstorming session coming up in 2 weeks or 1 week. Don't do it too far in advance, because if it's too far in advance, I'll just forget about it and I'll do my research later on. But 1 or 2 weeks time, we've got a brainstorming session. The topic is the new patient experience. So start getting your creative juices flowing, do a bit of research online, look at other Facebook pages of dental practices and start seeing what other people are doing and think of different ways that maybe you're treated in a particular way at your hairdresser or your GP or your optometrist or your chiropractor. And we want to just get a whole bunch of magnificent ideas thrown into the center of how we can really delight our new patients. We want the new patients to leave going, wow, I would never go anywhere else, and I'm telling everybody about this place. It is awesome. We don't care how outlandish the ideas are. We just want a whole bunch of great ideas coming into the system. And then when you meet at the brainstorming session, as you're discussing things, even if people haven't done the prep behind it, the research behind it, as you're discussing, they'll be coming up with different ideas as well. Let's just throw into the basket in the middle a whole bunch of great ideas. And then from that, we'll determine what we want to implement as part of the experience here that we offer patients. And then we're going to start getting a system involved, so we make sure this is rolled out consistently. And then we're going to role play it to make sure that everyone's had the experience, the physical experience of doing this new wonderful thing. That all takes time. You can't get that done in an hour. There's no way. So I suggest you do it because of the fact if you see a patient or two and then have a brainstorming session or a meeting, everyone's going to end up running late. They've got a bit more steri to do to try to corral those little kittens into that one area is a challenge. And then on the other side of it, if you do the brainstorming session first and you're got the juices flowing, you're all happy and you just need another 20 minutes and you get everything done, but there's a patient. Because of those bookending either end of the brainstorming session with patients, it's going to be troublesome and you need as much time as you can possibly devote to it. So I say a half day session. Turn up, make sure everyone's got coffee in hand, cups of tea, bit of cake or bit of scroll or whatever it is, and then you just start going through that process. We've identified the topic, everyone throws in their ideas, we cherry pick the ideas we want to keep and roll out straight away, formulate that into a system, role play the system out, practice as much as we can. So then the very next moment any of us are called upon to roll out that system for the new patient, it happens. We know what to do. We've ironed out the bugs. We've role played it. We've got the experience going on. I know what to say. I know where to say it. I know who to say it to. So brainstorming sessions, if you can imagine once every half year, just once every 6 months, you can do it quarterly if you like, you can do it every half year, you can do it once a year. If you think about those key patient experience times that you've brainstormed and got these magnificent new systems put in place, how impactful that will be for your practice from that day forward. This is where the gold happens. This is absolutely where the gold happens. And so if you are going to be doing brainstorming sessions, then go to the guide to role playing. Role playing generally freaks people out. They hate it because they don't want to be seen as silly, incompetent. They don't want to be able to perform under pressure. No one can. So this is a guide to help everybody get online. Now there was one little fault there, but I think I've fixed it. That's okay. So this is the step-by-step guide to role-playing. This is the code of conduct to role-playing. Be respectful of each other at all times. Be encouraging and enthusiastic of people's performances. Allow each other time to speak uninterrupted. Validate each other's input and ideas. Stick to the topic chosen for the role play. Don't start going off into tangents. Be supportive of staff members who are struggling by helping them feel less anxious, and do not make anyone feel silly, offended, or unduly pressured. It's all about creating the environment for them to feel safe to role play things out. Sometimes they need to be, you know, see a couple of other people role play first. Giggle all the way through. Make jokes. All you want to do is identify the barriers to getting the system done and get an experience of saying the words and being in that place when you're supposed to be saying the words, getting a physical experience of it. That is still achieved when your role play is lighthearted and fun. I promise you, it doesn't have to be an unbroken scene where from the point the patient walks in the door to when the patient walks back out of the door again, we've seamlessly gone through this role play. No, that's not the case. Sometimes you never get to that because it's going to be a long role play otherwise. And you can't repeat that over and over again too many times. So just make sure it's fun, lighthearted, and it is a place to be creative and not to be disciplined around. All ideas are good ideas. All performances are good performances. I am in the right spot. So brainstorming sessions can be golden opportunities for your practice to identify how to be uniquely different from all of your colleagues around the suburbs that you're in, and you become the ones that treat your patients absolutely better than anybody else could ever dream. Great ideas come from that. The third way of communicating, the third opportunity for effective communication within your team are the morning huddles. And I talk about them a lot We'll keep talking about them as time goes on, because the morning huddles are that way of going, okay, we're setting the standard for the rest of the day now. So we're positive, we're happy, we know what we're going to get set up for the patients, we've got all the lab work in, we know who the TLC phone calls are going through to, we've practiced effective communication right now. Hopefully, we've even put on our what can I do for you wristbands, so we're all primed for a great day. It's setting the tone for the day, and it's practicing, yet again, practicing respectful, supportive team communication. The other one that's crucial, I believe, is open door management. Now, what open door management is that unless I'll kind of take it from my perspective when I was at Dendy, my practice, unless I'm actively speaking with a patient, I'm open for you to come and chat with me. Keep in mind that the opportunities for dental team members to drop everything and come and chat are very rare. It's during a fellow's appointment time when we've just run early by 10 minutes and I've still got to get my steri done before I can come down and have a chat, or I have to cut into my own lunch break, which I know is not a good thing, that everyone wants, you know, we've got to try to make sure everyone gets their proper breaks. So open door management lends itself beautifully for a dental situation. I used to, even if I was in the middle of doing wages and it was a real interruption, I'd still say, absolutely come and talk to me, because I know your opportunities for this are rare and I know what you're about to say is important. It may not be important to me or the running of the practice, but it's important to them. And in order for effective relationship building with your team members, they need to trust in you that you see them and their reality as important. So when they come down and chat, then they can have the door open or closed. They can come and vent and you say nothing to anybody else and don't do anything about that problem, or they're coming to you with concern that they want something, some action taken on it. Maybe it's something that's going on for them personally that they just need to get out of their mouth. There's power to getting something out of your mouth and not just holding it within you. You could have a couple of words of support, of wisdom, of guidance that will help them for the rest of the day. At the very least, they feel heard, listened to. That's crucial. That's important. So open door management means that you hear about things in a timely way, because something that's important right now, it could be important every day at around 10 o'clock and affect that person's performance. But if it got to the point of, I'm going to wait to the staff meeting, they go, oh, I don't want to make it that public. Or I'm just going to wait till that person's absolutely free before I can go and speak to them. When's that ever going to happen? And then a week goes by and you're like, oh, whatever, I'll just cope with it. No, you want to hear about these little things that are going on, so you can either help people get the frustration out of their mouth, and so then it minimizes the impact it's having on their moment. Or you want to be able to do something, take action on something that's recidivist, that's a problem ongoing, or could be a problem not just for this person, but for others as well. It's when we leave things undone, it's when we leave frustrations festering, that's when resentment builds. And I don't know if any of you have been in a relationship with somebody, a loving relationship with someone, who where resentment has been allowed to build. So hard to shift out of that mindset. You don't want team members to become resentful of the leadership or resentful of each other. You want to catch things early. So you get over them and remind everybody, see, we're a happy bunch. We're a happy, functional bunch. We have ups and downs, but we get over them. That's what we do here. So open door management is a very important part of team communication, effective team communication. And as I say, allow sometimes for people to have a vent. If they come in and they go, this is frustrating me when this happens, and then she doesn't do that, and then she does that, and I can't stand it, and I rah, and say to them, just let them go for a start. Don't go in there and be the moral keeper of everybody. Just let them go. And then say to them, are you just wanting to vent that out, or do you want me to do something about that? I can if you need me to do something about that. If they just want to vent it out, just go, I understand you're frustrated. Don't buy into the argument. Don't buy into the she did this and she's bad and all the rest of it. You weren't witness to it. Do not judge it. But let them vent and let them know that their frustration is heard and understood. I get it. I get you're frustrated. I'm sorry for that. If they say, no, I want you to do something about it, that's when you start saying, okay, let's start taking the steps to taking action. What result would you like to see? You say to the employee, what result would you like to see? And say, okay, let's see if we can work backwards from that. Let's see if that result is a reasonable result. If it's not, then we'll talk further about it. So that is key. I've just got a series of hints that I want to go through in these last 10 minutes. Check in when possible with each team member you are in interaction with. Now, this is something that I've just recently started to do. I know that I've always, for many years, it's such a habit now, it's just part of what I do. I'm very upbeat in the morning. I really do like to get things happening in a positive way every morning. And so when people do, if I'm already in a workplace and people walk in, and I just go, oh, good morning. I go, good morning. How are you today? Hope you're well. And so I do try to make it as upbeat as possible. That's you don't have to go that nuts over it. People do think I drink early in the morning with the way I act sometimes, which I don't. I'm just very happy in the mornings. I'm even happy at 5:50 in the evening. But what I've started doing recently is, because it does get very busy in the mornings. People come in. They've had a whole lifetime at home where things could have happened, but they come in. We've got the setup, the morning huddle, and we're off. The next time I need to go and speak to somebody about something, I do a quick little check-in rather than just going straight to the receptionist, for example, and saying, Joy, could we activate the recalls for next month? Instead of that, I go up to her and say, hey, Joy, are you good? How are you today? And I'm quiet and let her actually respond. If there's anything major going on in her world, she gets the chance to say that. That may then help me on the way I manage her through the day. If she's got nothing going on and she is happy, she feels cared for. She feels like that her mental space is important to me. And I want people to feel that way because it is important to me. When you work with people, the people are important. So that check-in just before you start throwing directives out, you can throw directives out as a group. Directives. When you're in the surgery, just before you get the first patient in and you've already done the huddle and everything else, but you say to your nurse or you say to your dentist, and how are you going? Are you good today? Yeah, great. Just show that level of care. I've found that people do sit there and they look me in the eye and they go, yeah, I'm good. And so it makes me think, gosh, I think that's relevant. I think that feels relevant for me when I'm in interaction with them about that. The other thing is to be precise. So quite often with team communication, we're so eager for the other person to see our point of view, or we're so eager for that other person not to feel slighted by the directive that we're about to put forward. There's an agenda behind the way we communicate with somebody, where the kindest thing to do at all times is to be kind in our delivery of the truth. And so if, for example, I'm going to pick out a random thing. If you've got a staff member that has got long nails with colourful paint, then the inclination sometimes is to say, oh, and just a quick thing, just with your nails, if you could just tone it down a little bit, that'd be really great. And you end up being vague and there's not a real directive there for that person to know exactly what you mean. And so all they do is they cut off a millimetre and they go, see, I've done it. And then you're all sitting there going, oh, it's still garish. So be precise. I love your nails. I think the colour is magnificent. But at the practice, we want to just make sure that we are adhering to the infection control guidelines and appearance guidelines. And it just means we can't have bright colours and we can't have the nails so long. Here's a couple of photographs that I found on Google of the kind of nails that would be the extreme that we would be accepting here. What do you feel about that? And I always do that as well. I always try to make sure I check in with the person and get a bit of feedback from them. I've just told you what to do because it's one of those situations where I just got to tell you what to do. How do you feel about that? And most people say, yeah, I get it. That's fine. I want to open the opportunity up for them to tell me anything that they've got concern over. If it's a concern that I can manage and make a different system around it, then I'll do that. If it's not, I'll say, I hear you. I'd feel the same way, but it's just what we have to do. I'm really sorry. And you just open and up front, and you can hear an objection without having to react from it and not lose your power. Not, it's not that lose your power, that you don't still get that important thing done, that important system rolled out. So ask for feedback. Develop a great, I should go back a bit. Whenever you tell someone what to do, ask for feedback. At the very least, involve them in some way. Make it less like I'm just directing, barking orders at you and you need to just to, you know, do what I tell you to do. No, ask for feedback. This is the next thing that we're doing. How do you feel about that? Develop agreements on communication. And so when you, this is a great brainstorming session thing as well, and the team work guide will go take you through this process of, let's make agreements as part of the team that if conflict arises, this is how we behave. This is how we approach that sort of conflict. If one person's upset with another, these are the options that are open to them. So you make agreements around the kind of way you behave in terms of your communication with another human being. And that is spoken more in that team culture stuff. So I will be concentrating on that more in a future live session. Trust and safety is paramount for effective communication. People will not be open and honest with you if they feel like there is some sort of cost to that, that they might be seen as whingy or whiny, that they may be seen as incompetent, that they will then be given a silent treatment or frowned upon. Do not provide any cost if what you want from that person is honesty. So developing trust and safety with that person and with the whole team, crucial to effective communication. Caring is enormous, that you actually care about the human being that's inside the body that rolls out all the responsibilities of their role, that you care about the human inside. And sometimes we can think, gosh, it just takes such a long time to have all these conversations with people. It's just about getting into a routine with it. Because believe me, when I owned Dendy, I came to the conclusion quite quickly that my tasks that I was doing every day were less important, and the most important thing I was doing was the talking. The talking was reminding people of the values, reminding people of the systems that were being rolled out, telling them what I loved about their performance, reminding them the areas that we were working on, promoting effective, strong teamwork through effective, strong communication. So quickly I thought, well, anybody else can do my other stuff. But it's the talking, the thing that I thought was interrupting my role, it was that was most important. Set the standard high, as I said, you know, make sure that you do practice effective communication by setting a standard. And so if people drop below that, that they're made to account for it. When I say made to account, I'm not saying they're in trouble for it. Their attention is brought to it. Just to remind you, I know that you were frustrated in that moment, but just to remind you, that's not how we interact as a team here that we see as helpful. So the better way to have responded was to do this instead. So set a standard high, but then maintain that standard. And this is a quote that I listened to. I was listening to, because Charles Coves in his latest podcast was talking about Tony Robbins' books. And so I've been listening to them through the week as I've been driving around. And on my walk earlier, I was listening to one and I was reminded by this, because I've listened to these books so often, but I was reminded by this phrase and I love it. There are no failures, just results. So when we are communicating and we're trying to create an environment of safety and trust and caring with our fellow team members, the thing that gets in the way of that is when someone makes a mistake and it affects somebody else's role badly and blah, blah, blah. And we've already spoken about this and you still did it wrong. And I can't believe it. No, there are, because as you know, I'm very big on mistakes, a crucial part of our improvement, and having a culture of constant never-ending improvement is great teamwork and gets the great things out of the team for the practice and for us individually. In order for us to progress and consistently improve, there are no failures. As long as we don't see it as a mistake, or that we see the mistake as important, but we flip the meaning of the mistake, it's not a negative, it's a positive, there are just results. There are no failures or mistakes, there are just results. And so given that result, what are we going to do now to get this outcome rather than the outcome that we got before? There are no failures, just results. And as a human being, to really truly adopt that as part of the way you move through life, there are no failures. There are just results. It's wonderful. Again, I'll be speaking more on that when we talk about team culture, because the JPPS culture of constant, never-ending improvement has various aspects to it. It's all mega, mega, mega powerful. Love it. I hope you enjoyed today's live session. If you have any questions, please let me know. Ticking that off there, ticking off the priority. Our next session, ticking that there, dragging it over to complete it. I've dragged over the COVID-19 useful actions because we're over it. Unless a second wave hit, we're over it. Let's think positively. And there's a team communication card as well. I'm going to put that at the top of the doing column list. Our next communication is for anyone who's interested in the doing session tomorrow with the Google Calendar. After that, though, we've got the live session on Sunday. There's the registration link there. And we're talking about feedback, another important element of team communication, great teamwork, and part of the constant and never-ending improvement culture that I'd love for you to develop within your practices. So that's part of what we're talking about, but there will be other items added to the agenda, I'm sure. So I'll hit L for label, take it off mid-priority, upgrade it to top priority. That's the next communication. I hope you have a beautiful afternoon / evening and welcome to the club. Just thought about that then. How brilliant. So welcome to the club. I look forward to seeing you either tomorrow or on Sunday. Thanks. See you later.